She could not eat, but the creamy cheese eased past her tight throat and settled her stomach. She finished the cheese and the second mug of water he poured her. By then he had sliced a half loaf of dark bread and put it in front of her. She took a slice. It was nutty and rich. Master O'Callow sat at the end of the table, his hood pushed back, eating a slice of bread spread with cheese. Pox glanced at him. The same brown, weather-beaten face, heavy dark eyebrows, thick hair tied off his face with a twisted cord the color of bark. He was gazing out the window beside him, frowning slightly. She followed his gaze. A black-and-white spotted bird clung to the trunk of the nearest tree. As she watched, it began to hammer on the bark. The strokes were loud and quick, almost like a drum rattle. Pox wondered why its head didn't split. She'd never seen anything like it, though she had heard that sound before, without knowing its source. Bark chips flew from the tree.
"It's a woodpecker," he said, answering her thought. "It seeks out insects under the bark and eats them. A forest without woodpeckers would be eaten by the little ones devouring the trees."
Pox felt her muscles unclenching, one by one. Are there more than one kind? The Quokkin smiled.
"Oh, yes. Most of them are speckled and spotted, but some are brown and white or grey and white instead of black and white. There are little ones and big ones, bigger than this, and many of them have bright color at the head. This one has a yellow stripe, but it's hard to see so far away."
"How can they pound the tree like that without hurting themselves?" He shrugged.
"They are made for it. It is their nature. Creatures are not harmed by following their natures. How else can horses run over rocky ground on those tiny hooves? Tiny for their weight, I mean."
He reached to the jug and poured another mug of water for Pox, and one for himself. Pox took another slice of bread. "I heard a bird when I came in. It sang three notes." She tried to whistle them.
"Yes, I know the one. A shy bird. You'll never see it. It's brown on top, and speckled grey and brown below. It eats gnats and flies, and its eggs are green, patterned with brown."
"I thought most birds, except the hawks and carrion crows, ate seeds."
"Some do. Most sparrows are seed-eaters. There's one bird that eats the nuts out of pine cones. Watch now."
He took a slice of bread and crumbled it on the broad windowsill, then took a slender wooden cylinder from his robe and blew into it. A soft trill of notes came out. Pox saw the flickering of wings between the trees, and five birds landed on the sill. She sat still. Three of the birds were alike, green with yellow breasts. One was brown, and one was fire orange with black wings. Their tiny eyes glittered as they pecked the crumbs and watched her. When the bread was gone, the Quokkin moved his hand, and the birds flew away. Pox breathed again.
"They're so beautiful. I never saw anything so beautiful, that orange and black one."
"So, you will admit that you haven't seen everything in this world you were so eager to leave."
She hunched her shoulders, silent. She heard a gusty sigh, then the scrape of his stool as he rose.
"Stay here," he said, "until I return."
She did not look up, but heard his feet on the floor as he crossed the room, and the soft thud of the door as he closed it behind him. She thought briefly of going out the window, but the grove was thick and dark there as the sun lowered. The spotted bird was gone, the hammering coming now from a distance. She put down the rest of her slice of